This is the Music Mentor Podcast. What is going on, my friends? This is Demian, your host of the Music Mentor Podcast, and welcome to episode number 245. Before I get started, I want to talk about something very, very serious. As you know, the shootings, mass shootings, school shootings that we have been living in this country have been absolutely horrifying, terrible, 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 and something that I've been trying to be an advocate for, gun control, responsible gun ownership for many years. And before I talk about this episode, I would love to send not only my condolences, but love and peace to everybody affected by this horrendous tragedy. And please, if you feel so inclined to donate, please visit momsdemandaction.org. Again, that is momsdemandaction.org, and make a donation. That is for Moms Demand Action for Gun Sense in America. Every town and Students Demand, and any and every foundation, organization that can help curb this horrendous reality that this country is living through would be greatly appreciated. On last week's episode, I mentioned that I wanted to talk about Lollapalooza and that whole experience, and that's what I'm going to do today. But before I get started, as always, I want to give a quick shout out to the companies that I endorse: Zildjian Cymbals, Vader Drumsticks, LP Percussion, Remo Drumhead, Simpat Accessories, Traveler Guitar. Sorry, I'm looking around my room. Traveler Guitar, who make these amazing travel size, short scale guitars and basses. They're unbelievable. And Gibraltar Hardware. And second to last, but not least, Ultimate Ears in your monitors. And last but not least, Yucatape. And to remind you, in case you haven't seen this in social media, on my social media platforms, I have my own very signature series line of hand or finger tape from Yucatape, which is eucalyptus infused. It's awesome. It cools your hands. It prevents bruising. It heals because it has anti-inflammatory components. And I love it. It's orange. It's really cool. It's my first ever, or the first product that I've ever put my name on. And I'm very, very proud of it. So you can find that on Amazon. And you can also go to my Twitter and or my Instagram and click the link in the bio, and you will get another link to the product. So thank you in advance for checking that out. After I finished some shows locally with Miley, I had some time off and I did some recordings with some friends, and I was sort of waiting and seeing what was happening. And then eventually we got the news that we were going to play Lollapalooza, which made me very, very happy on numerous levels. One of them was that I would have finally the opportunity to play with Miley at a massive venue with ideally a lot of her fans, because we had just played at the Staples Center, which was cool, and we played with Green Day, but there were a lot of Green Day fans there. So to play with her in a massive setting was definitely a highlight. Number two, the fact that it was in South America and I could travel to my neck of the woods, so to speak, and go to Chile, Argentina, Colombia, Paraguay, in Brazil. That was also something that meant a lot to me. And obviously the component of potentially seeing some friends, and sort of more as it regards to my ego and my career, the fact that I was able, or was going to be able, to perform at a massive festival, world renowned, that I would have loved, or I wanted to play for a long time, kind of like a bucket list type of situation. So the three things just together were absolutely incredible. So we flew to Argentina, and it was lovely to see an old friend, Charlie, that I hadn't seen since 2010 or so, since last time I played there. And it was magical to see. And obviously the concert was unbelievable. 100,000 people. And it was just so vast. And it was flat. This particular concert was flat. And it was just so amazing and so loud. And one of the cool things for me was in this particular show, or sort of parallel to this, one of the bands that I've been listening to a lot has been Turnstile. For those of you that don't know it, check it out. The album Glow On is magnificent, is incredible. And it's a band that I'm so excited about. And it's probably, aside from Haim, they're the band that I've been the most excited about in the past, I don't know, 5 years or so. They're unbelievable. And there's this sort of new breed of hardcore punk that it's just amazing. So I knew that the Turnstile were playing at Lollapalooza, but our schedules just did not coincide. And they were actually performing at the same time as us at the other end of the festival ground. So in theory, not only did I play in Lollapalooza in Buenos Aires, but I saw Turnstile play at the same time, which was pretty cool, even though I couldn't hear a single note they played. So I am going to go ahead and count that as going to a Turnstile show. I love Argentina. I've had a close relationship with the country, with its football, with its culture, with its people, and I always have a great, great time. And if I were to rank sort of the best, you know, the best 10 shows I've ever played in my life as far as crowd and the anything and everything around the show, 3 shows in Buenos Aires would probably make the top 5. It's that amazing. And it's something that I felt like, you know, it would be a highlight. So I was like, wow, if this is it, amazing. And obviously to see her fans, her people, her, you know, true command of the stage in such a massive setting, it was just something to behold. And I was just floored. I've never seen anything like it, not even close. And it's just unbelievable to be a part of. So we flew to Chile the next day. And again, as Argentina is special, and sorry for all the chair cracking that you might hear, as the same with Argentina, Chile is a beautiful country that holds a special place in my heart, and its crowd is very, very, very loud. So to get to be able to perform again in Chile was incredible. I think it was less people at that festival ground, maybe 80,000 or something like that. Pretty gnarly, pretty crazy. But this one, to my right, I saw Daniel Fang, and his name escapes me, I feel terrible, the bass player of Turnstile. So they were there. So that was kind of cool to look behind me and see these dudes that have motivated me a lot recently and that have, you know, got me and a couple of the other band members literally pumped right before going on stage. We like listened to it on the way to the venue. And so that's kind of cool. One of the rewards that this life sometimes in this business can give us, which is pretty neat and pretty significant on an inspirational level. So after that, we went to Colombia, and that was a very interesting show. I don't want to get into too many details, but it was a rough one for a lot of people involved. And then we went to Paraguay, and we were supposed to just fly into Asunción and just have a day off, I believe, and just play a festival. And what came to happen was very crazy. And I'm going to be honest, I don't remember every single detail. And I also don't feel necessarily comfortable sharing absolutely everything that happened. Not that there's anything, you know, too secretive, but it's just neither here nor there. It's sort of irrelevant to the story. But in case you didn't hear, on our flight from Colombia to Paraguay, we were basically attacked by a storm, a lightning storm, and a lightning hit our plane. And it was very crazy, the whole situation. And we had to make an emergency landing about 200 miles, I want to say, from Asunción, and we had to be grounded and wait for hours for the engineers to fix the plane and so on and so forth. And we finally were able to make it to Sao Paulo in Brazil. And of course, it was an insane situation, and there were a lot of feelings involved. And at the moment, I wasn't nervous because I don't even know if I was in survival mode. I don't know exactly what happened. I just figured, like, hey, this is just turbulence. This is just normal turbulence, even though I knew it wasn't normal turbulence. But I just had that's how I had to cope with it. And it didn't hit me till the next day. You know, we got to Brazil around 7 in the morning, I think I want to say. I got to my room around 7:30, and I spoke with my wife on the phone, and I spoke to, I think, my parents, and then I just kind of went to bed. And it was really rough sort of getting up. I felt a little sort of overwhelmed by sort of anxiety and, you know, what had just happened. And I started having these sort of existential thoughts of what could have been, and all these things just sort of piling on top of the grandeur that was the occasion, the moment, what could have been, you know, potentially dying with a superstar on a plane and close friends and, you know, not saying goodbye to people. And then it makes you think about your life and what you've been doing, what you want to do, places you want to visit, restaurants you want to eat at, you know, people you want to apologize to, people you want to see, and so many things happened. It was definitely a near-death experience, and I had never lived through anything remotely close to that. So a way of coping was getting a tattoo. So I called my dear friend Bruno from Sao Paulo, and he got me in touch with He-Man Tattoo, Tatuador, my dear friend now from Santos in Sao Paulo, Belez amigo. And it was amazing to meet up with him and talk about the tattoo that I wanted. Shout out to B-Guest in Sao Paulo, B-Guestchi, an amazing tattoo studio and cosmetics, you know, aesthetic studio. It was awesome, and it's just amazing people. They treated me like a freaking rock star. So I absolutely love it. And I had this idea of, I changed my mind, as you would when you get tattoos. I changed my mind. But, you know, one of my favorite bands is Metallica. And my favorite Metallica record is Ride the Lightning. And I know it's not the most popular of opinion, but Ride the Lightning, I think it's their best record. And I love that album. And sort of thinking back of what happened when I was like, oh my God, I got to get a tattoo. I was like, well, we basically rode the lightning, right? We almost died, hit by lightning. So what I wanted to do was sort of mix the cover of Ride the Lightning with an airplane or a airplane chair or something like that, a seat of an airplane. So I decided to go me and He-Man Tattoo, we decided to go with the plane. So you can see it on my Instagram. And it was very therapeutic, as you can imagine. And also a lot of people were asking me about, like, why did you get the tattoo? And my Portuguese is okay. And to be able to practice in talking and saying this story in Portuguese was really interesting. And it was just amazing to think about it in different ways and express what it was and sort of kind of capture that and materialize it, something that will be with me forever because, you know, I see the plane, but I also know that there is, quote unquote, people inside it. So it was the way for me to not make it about myself or like a airplane chair that was just me, but the airplane itself sort of signifies everybody that was inside it. So I literally carry those people, Miley included, and the whole team, band, crew, management, you name it, and the flight crew and the pilots that were so amazing, the engineers, everybody was just absolutely magnificent. And that was my way for me to sort of cap this occasion. It was really, really rough. It hurt a lot, but at the same time, it was very beautiful. And like I said, very therapeutic. I want to say that later that night, that same night after dinner, we all heard the tragic news of Taylor Hawkins passing, and that added a whole new component to our performance, because this is public knowledge, Miley was very close friends with Taylor. He was supposed to come to the show, and the Foo Fighters were already in Asunción, and we were gonna they were gonna come to the show, I think, or something along those lines, some connection, and it really affected her. And she sang "Angels Like You" in his memory, and it was just a very, very intense performance, and one that I'll never ever forget. And it's probably the most significant concert of my life. Not only were there 103,000 people, and we got to play with Anita, her song "Boys Don't Cry," but just to see somebody like Miley, who was friends with this person that sadly died, and to see her basically kick ass on stage after almost dying, after having a really rough show in Colombia when she was sick, and all these things, it was just more than admirable. It was just so inspiring, and 103,000 people collectively being there, loving the occasion, paying respects to and tribute to Taylor, and just, you know, getting to perform right after you almost die was very, very significant for me. And aside, obviously, from my wife and my family and extended and chosen family, I mean, these people are so near and dear into my heart, and I couldn't have picked a better group of people to survive or not this traumatic experience with. And I will cherish it forever for what it's worth on any and every level possible. So more than a moral to this story, you can take from it whatever you want. But all I have to say is that I was overwhelmed with gratitude before that happened, during it happened, and after, of course. And it was just so intense. Also, as it relates to, you know, the previous shows and the previous shows and the previous shows, like everything, thankfully, in my career since December of last year, it just has gone up and up and up. And I've been sort of bombarded with these, you know, sensory overload experiences, you know, performing the show with Green Day, and then playing with Steven Tyler, and then the two Lollapalooza shows before, and then the show in Colombia, and how we overcame that, and then this, and then Taylor. It was just like so much stuff. It was really rough. I don't want to say rough for me, because I, to a degree, I'm a peripheral figure in this operation, but it was a very intense, meaningful few days. Really, it felt like we were gone for 2 months, and we were gone for maybe 10 days or something like that. But that's the way that this life works sometimes, you know, and we tend to get used to certain things, you know, certain types of shows and certain type of great treatment from management and the flights and private planes and all these other things that are very, very easy to get used to. But I think I speak for everybody in this particular camp, how grateful everybody is. Nobody feels entitled. Nobody feels nothing but gratitude. And it was this test that we were put through by lightning and thunder and rain and planes and duct tape and whatever. It's just ridiculous. So I know this was a little bit of a too personal of a story necessarily, but I'll be back next week with more sort of educational things. So if you, whoever you are, have any topics that you want to recommend or you want me to discuss, if you just have questions, please shoot them via social media on DM or on Twitter or Instagram comment, whatever you want. One quick reminder, please, if you feel generous, if you feel affected, whatever you feel, please donate whatever you can to momsdemandaction.org. That's momsdemandaction.org. Thank you so much for listening. This was the Music Mentor Podcast.